I always enjoy our children celebrating on Palm Sunday. For one, it's a joy to have our children in the church lead us by sharing their gift of song. And I think it's also good to have this become a tradition, as it reminds them and it reminds us of this special season in our lives. And so every year when they sing, it sets their minds knowing that this begins a holy week. And we join them in that. But lastly, even seeing the youngest among us join the celebration, it helps us even better understand the people who gathered around Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. So Palm Sunday is the day the church celebrates what we call Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And with the help of our gospel writers, we imagine throngs of people gathered around Jesus, and we can feel their hopes resting on him as he comes into the city to begin his reign in his kingdom. But Mark helps us see this triumphal entry another way. He confines Jesus' walk to the road just leading up to the city. And he keeps the crowd rather unaware of this significance. So if you'll join me, we'll read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately, as soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it back here." They went away, and they found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave him permission. They brought the colt to Jesus, and they put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. It was the annual celebration of Passover, and families made this pilgrimage together, as it was no small feat. Thousands would make pilgrimage to Jerusalem in order to celebrate this feast. And it was a feast that marked God's protection and God's provision. And they walked together, and they danced together, and they sang together. And their songs were our psalms, specifically Psalm 118 and Psalm 148 made the Passover chorus that they lifted from the city streets. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Or as it also sounded to them, "Save us! Save us, we pray. We come in the name of the Lord." Throughout the city, these songs were sung. All over Jerusalem, their pleas were raised to the Lord. Save us, we pray. From the west came a parade of great might. With the sound of trumpets, the people on the streets parted the way, and soldiers marched through in step as a new governor, Pontius Pilate, rode high atop a war horse into the city. But from the east, Jesus walked, accompanied by the followers who had come to know him over the past 3 years. Having become a close community, they journeyed together for the Passover feast in Jerusalem. And as they drew closer to the city, this group too joined in the songs, the psalms of their people. All around the city, the cries for salvation came from the people. Save us, for we come in the name of the Lord. And from the west, Pilate's parade came to interrupt those songs. His parade was meant to show military strength, a strength used to keep people in their place. His parade was designed to keep order, to show domination. These songs weren't meant for him. But some around him might have thought that his way could be the strength they needed. From the east, Jesus was surrounded by songs to which he was the answer. Yet the crowd didn't really know that. Still, they sang before him and they sang behind him, and he was the one. He came in the name of the Lord. Pilate came to demonstrate power. Wealth and weapons were at his disposal. But Jesus came in peace. Yet he came with the fullness of power at his command. His power was almost a secret, and it's one that Mark hints to. All the other gospel writers talk about Jesus deserving all of the praise of creation. And if these people don't praise Jesus, creation surely will. But Mark tells the story a different way. Quietly, Jesus rides atop a colt, unbridled and just borrowed. It's his own messianic secret, taming of creation. I wonder, did the group following Jesus call to mind the words of the prophet Zechariah? Did they remember this prophet's promise that the victorious king comes humble, but mounted on a colt? Were they even considering Jesus the rightful king? From Mark's perspective, it doesn't seem so. So I wonder what compelled them to follow Jesus. Just last week, I was at a conference in which thousands of people gathered to hear and to share stories about why they are Christian. Many of these people had been excluded from their families and their faith families, their communities, for one reason or another. They were told for many reasons that they didn't belong unless they changed. Yet they were welcome at this gathering. They were told, you belong and you are loved. This is why so many were following Jesus into Jerusalem. Because at one point they had been ostracized from their people, and Jesus gathered them to him, and he said, you belong. This week, and into the weekend a little bit, my youngest, Ruthie, has been so sick with the flu. as her fever kept climbing to 105, and she would grow weaker and more lethargic in my arms. All I could think about were the statistics of healthy children dying from this virus. Even with modern medicine, the flu is deadly. And I think of all the illness in ancient Israel before modern medicine, and I think of the desperate families carrying their ill children to the feet of Jesus, seeking the healing that he offered. I imagined loved ones carrying even their grown friends and family to Jesus to see what he could do. And Jesus healed them. Of course they followed Jesus into Jerusalem. It's not clear if they saw him as king, and it's not clear if they fully understood him as Messiah. All that's clear is that they had eyes to see Jesus at work. They were committed disciples of Jesus, and they would follow his way wherever it led. Really, Mark's depiction of the triumphal entry is anticlimactic. With his band of committed disciples, Jesus walks into Jerusalem. They looked around the city. They probably joined in the song and the dance. And as the day drew to a close, they walked back out that same road to stay in a more affordable place in Bethany, just outside of town. Churches all over the world celebrate Holy Week, and it begins with Palm Sunday, this day, and it goes through Easter, which is next Sunday. We focus on the triumphal entry, and then on Maundy Thursday, we celebrate the foot washing, and we celebrate the Last Supper. On Good Friday, we remember Jesus' crucifixion, and then we celebrate on Easter Sunday again to remember that great triumph over death. But if we look to Mark's gospel, a lot happens on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday that we so often overlook. It's in these days that Jesus reveals the gospel through surprising gestures and subversive teaching and conversations with friends. And Mark directs our attention there, the impact of the days ahead, when Jesus says, "Come into Jerusalem with me and look with me at everything." With eyes to see, Jesus looked at the work ahead. Work of liberation, work of salvation, and that work of restoration began that night. As he walked back out of the city, that same road he came, back to Bethany, and most assuredly returned the colt to its home as he said he would, and then went to his lodging for the night. Jesus didn't just take things and usurp them. He used everything for its purpose and in its time. And the next morning, he awoke and he looked out from Bethany upon Jerusalem. A poem I love describing the body of Jesus says that Jesus has eyes that blaze against injustice, eyes that know how to cry, and eyes that see potential in everyone. I imagine Jesus looked out upon Jerusalem with eyes that blazed against injustice. In 2010, a local woman here named Christine Cotton looked at friends and neighbors who were suddenly food insecure because of economic injustice. She gathered a few friends, and in a sense, they had eyes like Jesus to see the need around them. And like Jesus, they sought relief for those trapped by misfortune. These ladies reached out to their neighborhood friends, asking them to leave some food, canned food, on their porch. And then these ladies went from porch to porch, collecting food to take to local hunger relief organizations. It was a great help to those in need. And what began as a small neighborhood food drive is now the organization we call Porch. And it started with eyes to see people in need. As Jesus looked upon the temple, he saw great need, and he moved to act. In the following verses in Mark's gospel, we witness Jesus entering the temple. We hear with him the cries of the people in the street, the cries of them singing to God, "Save us, save us, we come in the name of the Lord." And Jesus moved through these crowds. He moved among all who came to celebrate Passover. Some just to celebrate, some to pray and beg for help, and still others came to this city, to this time and place, to perpetuate cycles of oppression. We know them as the money changers and the animal sellers. I'll read a following verse in Mark's gospel. It says, "Then they came to Jerusalem, and he, being Jesus, entered the temple, and he began to drive out those who were busy selling in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves." Some translations have Jesus yelling, "Get these little birds out of here." He wasn't angry at the birds. I imagine Jesus looking upon those birds and remembering his childhood. Raised in poverty, all his parents could afford to buy for sacrifice were turtle doves. We saw these given when Jesus was presented at the temple in his youth. And here during Passover festival, Jesus sees these animal sellers making good fortune off of the poor, just seeking to be close to God. "Save us, save us," they sing. And so Jesus says, "Get these little birds out of here." And Jesus turns and listens to the cries. "Save us, save us," we pray. Yesterday, students all over the country led marches, and their cries were all too familiar. "Save us, save us," they said. They were asking for help, that they might be kept safe while at school. And those with eyes to see and faith to act can choose to change the systems as they are and offer relief that children all over the land need. For that we pray in the name of the Lord. And those same students, they too had eyes to see, and they recognized how they have gained the attention that many students of color have not. And they acted by sharing their platform and directing attention where it hasn't been before. Together, these kids are pleading to be saved from the systems that keep them in danger. "Save us, save us," we hear. And Christ asks us to come in the name of the Lord. Jesus worked in those early days of Holy Week to overturn systems of injustice. People did not like their power systems being messed with. They liked to parade them about to keep a certain kind of order. Even amidst the government's display, Jesus had eyes to see the people in need, and he had the will to act on their behalf. It was these acts that most certainly led to Jesus' death later in the week. Today begins our journey into Holy Week. It is the last week of Lent, a time in which we evaluate our lives and our commitment to Christ. The Gospel of Mark invites us to have eyes to see like Jesus. As we enter this time of responding, I want to share with you this whole poem about the body of Christ, the body that we are to remember. Come and remember the hands that touched the untouchable, that healed the hurting and did no violence. The feet that got dusty along city streets and at the lake shore. The arms that welcomed the stranger and embraced the outcast. The legs that entered homes and synagogues and danced at celebrations. The eyes that blazed against injustice, that knew how to cry and saw the potential in every single person. The belly that shared the table with unexpected people and shook with laughter. And the lips that wove stories and painted pictures of a new community and a better world. This blessed body was broken, abused, and rejected. But look around. We come to remember, for we are the body of Christ. Amen. There'll be people at the front and the back for you to pray with. You can come and kneel at the steps at the foot of the cross. Come, during this time, come to God and remember Christ.